It seems you either hate it or you've never heard of it. One of the world's most secretive meetings is taking place in Spain this year, and the heat hasn't dissuaded the protesters from turning out. They rallied under banners reading Enough Slavery and Bilderberg Group Secret Rulers of the World.
This year's Bilderberg meeting has drawn protesters not just from Spain but from all over Europe and the world. They're not objecting wholesale to the meeting taking place. What bothers them is the veil of secrecy that's been drawn over this sunny seaside resort.
The fact that elected officials attend secret meetings smacks of a lack of democracy, and some who've been following the gatherings for years say it's actually illegal for elected US representatives to meet in this way.
Well, the specific point with American delegations to hear attendees is that they break a law known as the Logan Act. The Logan Act prevents private US citizens and officials from making policy decisions in secret with foreign government officials. They knowingly and deliberately break the Logan Act, so I strongly suspect that other national governments have similar laws that their Bilderberg attendees break by being here.
Despite that, U.S. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner has attended the Bilderberg and is rumored to be at this year's too. It's been particularly difficult to get a list of attendees this year, with even that shrouded in secrecy. But veteran Bilderbergers include David Rockefeller and Henry Kissinger, and Ben Bernanke and World Bank head Robert Zoellick are also regulars. Outside the disproportionately heavy cordon, where police all but outnumbered demonstrators at times, a Swiss activist explained why we should be fearful of the Bilderberg's alleged New World Order agenda.
It bothers me that it takes away the power from the people and it gives the power to them. It is about building up structures, centralizing everything. The European Union, for instance, is also construct which the Bilderberg Group helped to develop, also the European currency.
Needless to say, the meeting's agenda is also a closely guarded secret, as it should be noted are the agendas of many meetings. But dedicated Bilderberg watcher Daniel Estulin says he's seen a leaked copy, and the big question this time around is whether the euro will survive. Its demise would be a huge blow to the group's alleged goal of encouraging economic blocs rather than nation-states.
They've been working so hard in creating this European Union, which is actually falling old government, as so many people mistakenly believe, but rather creating what they call themselves the aristocracy of purpose between North American and European elites and the best ways to manage the planet. In other words, the creation of One World Company Limited. And to have the One World Company Limited, you cannot have countries, you need to have economic blocks. And to have economic blocks, you obviously need the euro. For Europe to have this bloc as one, and obviously there, you know, this euro is falling apart at the seams.
Nowhere is that more apparent than here in Spain, which is in the grips of a severe recession. Except perhaps in Greece, the scene of recent violent economic protests, and coincidentally, or perhaps not, the venue for the Bilderberg's 2009 meeting. Spain will be hoping that the arrival of the Bilderbergers in this upmarket seaside town doesn't herald the same fate for them. Laura Emmett, RT, Sitges, Spain.
We're going to stay with Bilderberger, and let's cross to Bristol in the UK now and speak to anti-Bilderberg campaigner Tony Goslin. Thanks for joining us, Tony. Why are you so opposed to the group and their annual gathering? I mean, what could be happening behind these closed doors that's so bad?
Well, I think many of us are wondering whether this is like something out of the X-Files. Certainly, some of the things that I've found out about the group since I've been following for the last 10 years or so, one of the places that the whole war in Kosovo was brewed up was most definitely Bilderberg. This was being discussed for a couple of years before it actually happened there. And back in 2002, leaks were coming out of the conference that there was a military action against Iraq. At the time, it was really almost thought to be unthinkable and inexcusable, but it does seem that if this is a secret clandestine think tank, that one of the things they're brewing up in there is war. And let's not forget that we've got, you know, pretty much the people that control most of the money in the Western world in that building right now.
Well, Tony, I mean, when it comes down to it, decisions like going to war are always made behind closed doors. Our world leaders have their meetings. They make their massive decisions behind closed doors, not in front of the press. So how is it any different for the Bilderbergers?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, we're living in a democracy, and we have to really assert that democracy by making sure that big decisions like this are actually made democratically and by politicians who are democratically elected. Of course, the problem in Bilderberg is the politicians are just a tiny minority of the people in there, even though they're, you know, very powerful people. For example, George Papandreou, the Prime Minister of Greece, and we've just seen what's happened in Greece. He's been going to these Bilderberg conferences for many years. So people in Greece are wondering, you know, where do his loyalties lie? Is he loyal to this European and really NATO zone financial elite, or is he loyal to his own people? I mean, it seems that, you know, he had some big decisions to make a few weeks ago, and he decided to go with the European Central Bank rather than in the interests of his own people.
About the protesters, I mean, we've been seeing pictures from Spain. It seems there's not very many of them there. Is it fair to say that no one really cares about this, or is taking claims that decisions such as Iraq or Kosovo were made by these men?
Well, I think you're wrong. I mean, actually, a lot of people do care about it. Not everyone, like myself, can actually make it to Spain. And I think, you know, the best way to approach this is to have some kind of parallel dialogue, parallel conference, because these meetings are, of course, invitation only. Let's not forget that the British leader of the Labour Party back in 1992, John Smith, who had a very different economic vision to the Bilderbergers, he was invited along to the meeting in 1992, and he put a completely different version. He was really talking about forgiveness of international debt and all this kind of thing in order to get poor economies going again. And that the Bilderbergers don't want to hear. But unfortunately, John Smith died in the ensuing year, and Tony Blair was the man who was invited along to the 1993 meeting. Now, as we all know, that was the year before Tony Blair got the became leader of the Labour Party and went to power. So many people, including myself, think that these meetings are actually a place where politicians are groomed and selected. And it seems that very few radical politicians in Europe can get through the Bilderberg process. It's almost like an interview technique.
Now, you spoke a little bit about Tony Blair, but can you give us an idea of who else is on this secretive guest list, who might be making these world decisions?
Well, the most powerful people, I think, in that conference are the financial people. We're talking about David Rockefeller, who's now the chairman of the Chase Manhattan Bank. But let's not forget, his family ran the Standard Oil cartel in the United States, which nearly took over. It was like an octopus taking over the country and had to be broken up as part of the antitrust laws in America. But he's decided that now it's much easier to make money by being a banker rather than through the oil industry, because literally as a banker you can just press buttons and make money up like that. So, you know, don't be under any illusions. The decisions being made in this conference this weekend, I think, will affect Europe in the future. And, of course, no press are allowed in. And this is not even reported. It takes place under something called the Chatham House rule, where you're allowed to, the Economist reporters who are in there, write nothing about this conference itself in the Economist magazine, but they do put forward the views that are expressed there. So the idea is, it's taken 50 years, really, to get this more into the public consciousness. These meetings have been going on for 50 years with royalty, European commissioners more recently, senior politicians, financial people, oil barons. In fact, Rupert Murdoch's chief executive, a lot of media people go to these meetings, but they're very, very rarely, if ever, reported. And it's now the dam is starting to break, and more people are starting to realize that these meetings are even taking place in the first place.
All right, Tony Gosling, former journalist and editor of the Bilderberg.org website. Of course, you can find out more about this meeting on that website. Tony, thank you very much for speaking to us.